Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, this is Erica Ramirez, senior editor at Billboard. And with me today, I have Taj Rani from BET. Say hi.
Hi. Hi guys, I'm back.
And I have B-Dot to the left of me.
Yes.
I know what you guys do, but do you guys want to talk a little bit about what you do, especially you, B-Dot, because you are
Well, I'm the content time. Director, first time first appearance, time. Long time listener. Content director of Rap Radar. I'm the guy that puts the stuff up on the website.
And so you approve or disapprove everything?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. Okay. You know, I got two bosses, Elliot Wilson and Paul Rosenberg.
Right.
But, you know, got to respect the checks and balances.
Oh, okay. And Taj?
That was such a, like, hip-hop answer.
Right? Fucking rappers.
I'm the associate editor at BET.com and the host of our twice-a-week web series, The Warm-Up.
Yes. So I wanted to bring you guys in to kind of go over what happened this week, R&B and hip-hop. So I guess we could start from the beginning of the week when, I believe it's like Sunday, when there was an alleged track list for Beyoncé's self-titled re-release.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little crazy. There was like a lot of like basic titles, I kind of have to say. They were pretty basic titles. So it was like Fashion and like Illusion. You didn't want to believe it. Those were the titles. But then I think it kind of pushed them to put out the announcement that it was actually a 4-disc re-release. It actually was happening, but it was only 2 new songs and a few remixes. So
I still don't believe that, but...
What don't you believe? The new songs?
No, I think that people are like, you know, the track list was fake. There isn't going to be some secret re-release, but it's like, what fan or stan knew that there was actually going to be like a platinum box set re-release after the fact? Like, nobody made anything official until Monday after this alleged
right the track list and stuff, and then the link went on Amazon.
So you guys can continue to try to trip me up to make me think that there isn't some extra surprise happening, but I am going to be near my computer at like midnight every night for the next couple of weeks, because I do think that there's just like a little something extra. I don't think it's something as basic and as simple as here's all the stuff that you've seen
and
already
two new
plus
songs.
No, please.
What would you say it would be?
I think that second track list, the made up Beyonce Volume 2 thing, I think that there is something a little extra happening. What it is, I'm not sure yet, but I'm not listening to any of these statements being made, because it's like Beyonce's team doesn't talk. So all of a sudden you're speaking. Are you trying to throw us off?
Well, Parkwood, I think we talked to Parkwood yesterday, and they said that, of course they said it was like a fan made track list, and it kind of pushed them to pretty much just announce it, might as well.
But that's what I'm saying. How did your fan know
right
before
it was
you made
a very,
any...
It was very detailed track list considering like the logos, but...
Everything seemed on point except for that date mistake that you caught.
Right. The date was a little fucked up. What did you think?
I mean, the fans are relentless. You know, Beyonce at this point could put out a demo and re-release it and people are going to eat it up because it's Beyonce. So, I mean, I don't think she's taking a year off. I think she just put out the album last year. You know, what's the rush? She's raising blue... touring the world with Jay.
So you don't think that the alleged track list that Tosh thinks a little bit of will come out. You don't think that's happening?
Nah, that's not. I think she's just putting out the re-release for the holiday season. Thanksgiving's coming up. Get your cranberry sauce, your eggnog, and your Beyonce re-release, you know, with your four new songs.
I don't know. I just think that after Neo opened his mouth last year before The Secret came out and was like, I've been in the studio with Beyonce and we've been working on all these things.
Well, no, yeah.
I felt like there's some truth to it. She had been rumored to have worked with Rihanna. We do know that Justin Timberlake contributed a lot to the last album. So right. I'm just saying, I think that there's some truth to these itty bitty lies. Something somewhere. And like they said, the fan did some serious research and went and found these song titles like registered.
Yeah, that were registered, right.
Fan, quote unquote.
No, I think that, yeah, I think I said something about how Cherry is not like a, it's not too far-fetched to have a Rihanna remix of Blow. The song is included in the
box that comes with a lot of stuff, man. It's kind of like Beyonce's phone number and some stickers and temporary tattoos.
But there's like a lot of, I was talking to this with my coworker Jason earlier, like the fake leaked track list, because I don't know if you guys saw that there was like a fake leaked track list of Kanye's album, supposedly titled Paris. So his rep said that it was like bogus, but it's just crazy to me how fans are going in. If these are fan made,
right?
The fact that you're going in and including all this, and Taj is already giving me the eye. What, Taj?
I don't believe the jig.
You don't think that it's what fan made? You don't think that they're real and they're not?
I don't believe. Anytime someone's like, no, like of course it's totally bogus. I just don't really. I don't believe that kind of stuff anymore, especially with these high profile artists. Like, you're trying to be so personal and so private and stuff. I don't know. I'm waiting. Like I said, I'm going to be, like, near my computer for the next couple of weeks at midnight waiting to see if she really is doing something waiting, secret.
You ain't going to get nothing. You ain't getting nothing, man.
Oh, I'm so glad I'm sitting in the middle of you, too. Okay.
After last year, come on. She's taking a year off.
She should have taken a year off last year, but she didn't when she went on.
She was working. You guys are spoiled. That's the problem. No.
You mean Beyonce fans?
Yeah, right, okay. Y'all want all of it.
I think loyal fans are spoiled. Like, yeah. I feel like Kanye West fans are taking this and, like, running with it. Like, yeah. And also, the same with Beyonce. That track list for Kanye is not far-fetched. There's, like, Bon Iver. There's Jay-Z. You know what I mean? Like, it's right. All people that he has
the
collaborated.
The usual suspects.
Right. Lana Del Rey. They haven't worked together, but clearly, like, there's a connection there. So, whoever is... Do you guys ever think that maybe it's just inside putting out these track lists?
Yes.
And, like... But I don't see what's the point of, like, other than creating buzz. Pretty much it.
But nah. I do think that some of this stuff exists.
I think it's just fans, man. Because it's like, at this point, Beyonce or any high-profile A-lister, what's buzz? I am the buzz. You know what I mean? I'm the hive. So anything I do, people are going to gravitate to regardless.
But I think that if they want to keep something private, they can. Like, she was able to hold that album. What was it? Watch the Throne didn't leak. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? So... If they don't want anything to get out, that's fine. But, like, any fan that goes and finds the Parkwood logo, the Columbia logo, and comes up with all the stuff. Like I said, I'm just trying to get to the point where someone needs to explain to me how a fan knew that there was a platinum box set coming out. Like, you can talk all this fan-made shit to me all you want to. You can say that second, whatever, volume 2 thing is fake. How did they know that this was coming out? And had that never leaked, were you guys going to say shit Monday? Probably not.
If it was fan-made, though, I think it...
And you didn't say anything till after the stuff leaked on Amazon. Please, like, come on.
Someone was probably on Amazon doing a regular search and stumbled across it. And
right, but it's like, you guys were going to keep this hush-hush, but since Amazon blew the spot up...
I think it was more Amazon than, like, the actual track list,
but
to be
again,
honest. Like,
so you're talking almost 48 hours past after this fan-made track list and platinum thing, this fantasy leaked... And then 75% of it's true.
But box sets really don't really have a lot of pop circumstances behind them.
But they knew what was in it. But they knew what was in it. Like, the thing is, Amazon didn't say what was going to be in it. That fan, quote unquote, fan-made, stand-made thing said exactly what was going to be in the actual box set.
So did you answer me when I asked why you would think that the label would put out something like this or leak it?
When Taylor Swift sells 1.3 million copies of an album in 1 week when she's expected to sell less than Beyonce did with her surprise album last year. I think that, you know, that puts a little gas on the fire, to be completely honest. Like, you, if you're going to take a break, you want to take a break on top, period. And that's just my personal opinion. I think that there is always going to be a want and need for even those at the top to be and stay relevant. So you're talking...
I don't know how unique or exciting it would be, though, to for anything of Beyonce's to be a surprise anymore.
Yeah, but I don't think anything is unique or exciting about a re-release with all things.
But also re-release is kind of, that's not unusual, especially like during the holidays and like during such a big album, her touring. She now has like all these performances and stuff, and Taj is clearly over this. So that's fine. Wait, you wanted to talk a little bit about Rihanna, but it's been 2 years since the last album.
It's weird because with Rihanna, it feels like as if she has an album out. I guess just her presence.
Because she's always, right.
Yeah,
it's because she's amazing.
You don't have an album, really? Wow.
No, I know. I was thinking of that. Well, I was
just excited she's back on Instagram.
Bad girl, Riri.
I'm excited that.
Do you follow her?
I don't know.
The original.
Why don't you follow Rihanna on Instagram?
Everyone else does.
Oh, well, okay.
I do too.
No, a contrarian. That's fair. But yeah, I was like really excited when she resurfaced, and it was sort of like, hey, this is on Halloween, ha ha ha. But then it's like, here's my L spread. Maybe I'm releasing music, maybe I'm not, but I'm still hot and looking like a model. And then I'm going to give you Esquire UK.
Right.
Like, she's amazing. She's amazing.
Well, she is working on stuff. She's in the studio with a lot of people.
I can't wait.
I feel like that's also perfect timing to get back on Instagram.
Yeah, she's not slick. Come on.
So you're just excited that she's back on to see a good look and see what she's
doing. I like Rihanna.
And her twerks.
I like Rihanna in pop culture. So I feel like when she was kind of quiet and just walking.
When was she ever quiet?
I just feel like the past couple of months, like since she left Instagram, it's like you'll see her out. But up until she released Rogue a few weeks ago, it's like.
I felt like she did Instagram more than she like tweeted. It felt like she did express herself more like on Instagram than on Twitter. So
her presence.
But she's still, I think she was still out here like at events.
Yeah, like,
I
mean, there's never been a moment where
she's been
like,
present.
Damn, I miss Rihanna.
Because it feels like she's still out here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think she also, that I don't give a fuck attitude. Everyone loves it.
And that's so, like, exactly why I'm glad she's back.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Migos now because I know that B-Dot's excited about this.
Oh, yes.
So Migos is on the cover of the latest issue of Fader.
Yep.
And in the story, one of the co-founders of Quality Control Music, which is a label for Migos, one of the co-founders, Pierre Thomas, goes by P, said that Versace would have blown up even if Drake wasn't on it. And it actually ended up hurting them because Drake's label didn't give them the permission to put it on iTunes, which that last part I completely understand. That would have done a lot more for them. So I asked, I don't know if that was a good thing or bad thing, to ask Twitter if they agreed if Versace would have blown up. Not Migos, Versace specifically would have blown up without Drake. And I got like 100 plus replies. People probably unfollowed me because I retweeted all of them. consensus was no, that they wouldn't have blown up without Drake. Before y'all get into it, I think that regionally it was doing something and Migos was definitely doing something. So I think it would have eventually blown up, especially with the whole movement that's going on in Atlanta right now. But I definitely think that Drake sped that up.
Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. It's like we call it the Drake effect. You know, before Drake got on that record, it was doing its thing. You know, I think regionally, I don't have like numbers on it. I wasn't down south to kind of get a real feel of it. Mm-hmm. But I know once Drake hopped on it, it gave it new life. When DJs played that song, they cut Beagles's, you know, they clip it after Drake's verse. Like, I actually listened to that song yesterday for the first time in like a while. And I was like, damn, like there's more to it than after Drake? And it was just sounding like Versace, Versace, Versace. But that record catapulted them to where they are right now. And you know, they should send Drake an edible arrangement for that.
Aww.
You know, thanks.
I do think that I don't understand why Drake wouldn't give them permission to put that up on iTunes, though.
I think because maybe it's one of two things. Maybe Drake wanted to prepare, you know, the real look to be Nothing Was the Same.
Right.
Or maybe, you know, just politics from the label. You know, they didn't want their marquee artists, you know, on some new guys' record. Like,
yeah.
Who the hell are you?
Taj, what do you think of the whole... Do you agree that Migos would have blown up or do you not agree without Drake?
I love Southern hip hop.
Why do you say it so softly like that?
I love it. It's a very important part of my turn up. I just don't want to give Drake too much credit for something that was going to end up being golden anyway.
No.
Like, I think
hold
yes.
Hold on, Vita, hold on.
I think obviously, you know, his feature, of course, is going to speed things up. But like Vita just said, if you're in the club and you hear it, you're listening to him because DJs are cutting them out. I think that their movement was going to get going regardless because it's catchy, and a whole bunch of other rappers started sort of taking on the like, you know what I'm saying? So that's just something that happened. I mean, but Drake is someone that hears a good flow and will take it and quote unquote make it hotter. He did it to Big Sean. So I mean,
did it to everybody.
It is what it is. Yeah,
no,
so it's it's an adaptation thing, but do I think that we should credit the success of that song to him? Maybe that song.
No, yeah, I completely agree.
That song is what took Migos to...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Really? I mean, let's be honest.
But I just think that it was going to pop regardless. Because Drake, if I'm not mistaken, was not in a music video.
Nah.
Right.
There was no... There was a video.
There's a remix video. And I believe Meek Mill is also in it. And so, but it actually did come out before Nothing Was the Same. It came out in like July. And then the album came out in September. So
yeah, like I think it was going to grow on its own. Like I think that if they couldn't do anything beyond the Drake moment, then yes, let's give him a lot of credit. Let's send him that edible arrangement. But Migos doesn't need Drake to push forward. Like I think
everybody needs Drake.
I will say though that as far as Migos, I definitely need Drake. as far as Migos goes, every song that they put out after that has actually been bigger than Versace than their single.
But I think Versace is the one that charted on Billboard.
They all charted
that was the first.
Yes, the next two did chart and they charted higher than Versace. So. Drake or no Drake?
Because Drake.
Numbers don't lie.
Yeah, because Drake stepped in first.
No, but you would think that if the argument is Drake made it hot, let's say that Versace hit 10, Fight Night hit like 20, and then whatever other single hit 30. Yes, then it is because of Drake that Versace was such a success, but Drake being on it didn't chart it higher than anything else. So at the end of the day, did it really matter?
Yes, it does, because Drake gives you the boost.
I think that Drake put Migos in front of more eyes.
That's the Drake effect.
Which also I agree happened with like The Weeknd.
Yes.
And not to say Migos had shit way before Versace. People knew about Migos way before Versace and Drake, but I think Drake just kind of put them a little like in front of eyes that other people were not even like aware of.
Absolutely.
That's fine.
Yeah, we're good.
But that's what, to my point, is like the Drake effect. Whenever
wait, so you wrote an essay about
right.
the Drake effect on Rap Radar. I believe it was like September, right?
Yeah.
It was during the McConan
yeah.
craziness. And I remember that I think it was your second to last line. You kind of differentiated on whether the cosign actually makes you into a star
right.
or actually just catapults you into stardom.
Absolutely. I think, like I said, it's on Twitter prior to writing the article. It's kind of what sparked. I said Drake is the new record label. The Drake cosign is the new record label. As long as Drake endorses your movement, it's probably like a slam dunk or, like I said, an easy layup, because visibility is what's important now. Music is secondary in the music industry. You know, it's kind of weird, but his endorsement helps you get more visibility and more looks than you could get by yourself. You could take an artist like ASAP Rocky, Kendrick Lamar, Weeknd, Party Next Door, McConan, you know, with the Tuesday record. The list just goes on and on. The Migos. I mean, those artists, where would they be right now if it wasn't for Drake? I don't think they would be where they are right now.
So you think that by
Did
Drake...
Did you just list... I'm sorry. You just listed Kendrick Lamar in that?
Absolutely. Kendrick.
Well, explain. Your Kendrick and your ASAP is different than your Weeknd and your
yeah.
Right, but
and your
but Kendrick
so,
Kendrick's
so
first
those two.
But Kendrick's first national exposure, first big look was on Take Care. He had a song dedicated to himself. This is before, you know, Good Kid, Mad City was even released. But still, Kendrick Lamar was still an underground kind of rapper to the mainstream consciousness. A lot of people don't know who he was until he was on Take Care. That really helped him a lot. I can't predict and say, you know, they wouldn't be as successful as they are, but I'm just going on based off what happened. You know, these guys were aligned with Drake.
So
Drake
buzz, aligned with these guys. Buzz or no buzz, you think that Drake, once Drake co-signs, it gives everybody else kind of like a, oh, okay, this person's good.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about visibility. Granted, Drake has artists, you know, that really haven't necessarily popped yet, like P. Rain and O'Brien, Obi,
right.
Majid Jordan.
Yeah.
You know, they're still kind of like in the developmental stages, but they're on the same tours as Drake. They're on the same stages, you know.
I will say they all did have, well, especially Kendrick and ASAP, and even Mekonnen had their own little movement before Drake came along. I think that you are right when you say that Drake co-signed them, which probably made other people kind of check them.
Look at Tuesday.
Or turn around again.
That was out, what, since February? So it took Drake to get on the record to be come what
but,
it is
but
now.
But I think that also goes with not as much as Migos, because Migos has more material and their name is more out there. Right. But there's also something happening in Atlanta that is going to eventually have had someone check out Mekonnen, because Mekonnen is on a Young Thug song, a Thug
Damn,
song,
how long it took.
That's what I mean. But what I mean
but
is
I think that
he kind of sped up the process and also made people look at him again and be like, oh, maybe he does. Like, and
more eyeballs were on him.
But I just think we're like also in a space of instant gratification. Like, sometimes you just have to let stuff cook and grow. Like,
not in
I don't
2014.
Want, like, because at the end of the day, it's like, okay, Drake jumped on Tuesday. It's not, it bumps in the club, but
I don't think he sounds good.
Yuck.
On Tuesday,
listen, it's not about like, whether the song is good or not. Mekonnen wouldn't have done a show at a Gramercy Theater, a headlining show, if Drake wasn't on that song.
Like, I mean, The Weeknd does headline shows, and
Weeknd did Barclays, but that's to Drake's credit. Drake introduced them into the game. Like,
but I think
visibility is at an all-time high. The instant gratification, that's what's winning
right
now.
I understand the visibility, but I think that by basically saying, like, it's because of Drake that ... we are taking away from talent that's there and a fan base that may have been there. Like, we can't say that the person wouldn't have had the same fan base without Drake, because we don't know.
Drake added a little bit more to that.
But to sell out the Barclays Center, like, that's a big deal. Do I think that that's because Drake said The Weeknd's cool? No, because I've listened to The Weeknd and it's Drake said you're cool.
But it's like chicken and the egg, you know what I mean? Like, Drake ushered in The Weeknd. Weeknd, you know, developed his own style, and granted, he garnered fans. But at the same time, Drake is responsible for his success. You can't talk about The Weeknd without talking about Drake. Fact.
The only one I'm gonna have to disagree with you is Kendrick and ASAP, though. But
yeah,
but ASAP, you know, Drake took them on his tour.
I will say that Club Paradise did put some of those artists in front of other people's eyes that
absolutely
wouldn't have not otherwise paid that much attention to them. But I think that those two, kind of with how they are now and how little Drake was in and out as far as that's concerned, I feel like they could have done without.
Forget Def Jam. Forget Atlantic
Records. I think there's
Records,
different ways.
Drake.
I think there's different manners of the Drake effect. I just think there's different type of ways. There's like catapulting and discovering and then like co-signing, because like he could Instagram a lyric of Dage Loaf and that does, and that girl already had her song kind of buzzing, you know what I mean? Like, it was already coming, this Bobby Shmurda song. So it's you know, it just depends on the artist that we're talking about as far as Drake.
It's just weird that we're in a weird time now where it's like a lot of rappers and artists are just kind of like the playing field is kind of level. We put these artists on a pedestal too soon. And we think they're bigger than what they are, but in the real world and in the real life, they're not. So I think, you know, an artist like Drake, who is a certified A-lister, you know, could take him to.
Do you think he should be more careful with his cosigns?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think he's just giving them away for free?
I mean, hey.
I guess the question is, do you like the people he's cosigning? That,
I like some of them. I think the Mekonnen guy needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
That's code for I think he's whack. But you know, that remains to be seen. I've been wrong before, so we'll see.
You're not wrong.
Okay. Well, I did want to talk about Kendrick real quick. We were talking about, you sound like the Peter Rosenberg and Ebro interview that they did. That's all they did throughout the interview. Kendrick's, I don't know if you guys saw the music video.
Yes.
I love it, but I also love the song. Mm-hmm. I don't think I heard you, or I don't think I've read your tweets about Kendrick. Have you ever said anything about
I said it. I think Top Dog and them have sent me like a cease and desist.
Damn
if
right.
I said anything. No, I'm like, I'm kind of.
Because you shaded Kendrick in the past? Or you
no,
shaded
I've,
I?
No, I've loved Kendrick. I'm partly responsible for Mr. Lamar's success.
Oh, God.
But that's another podcast.
Did you just pull a Drake?
No, he just pulled a B-Dot. That's what he does.
Listen.
You don't.
It's
this
true.
Is what B-Dot does on Twitter.
That's another podcast. But, you know, I think Kendrick's great. The song, I'm kind of on the fence of. It's like, I want to hear it in the whole realm of the canon of the album, because it might make sense. Like, I remember last year, well, 2 years ago, when it put out Backseat Freestyle by itself. It's like, what the hell is this? Like,
yeah.
This is, you guys, like, it doesn't make sense. When you hear it in the scope of the album, it makes more sense, you know, so. Yeah.
But it's also, when he put out Swimming Pools.
Yeah.
And I believe what's now called Compton, it was before the album.
Right.
And they were bonus tracks.
Yeah.
So it's just like, maybe this song is not even going to be a story. I don't
True.
Know.
True. It might fit in the canon of the album. I don't know. We don't know. But.
What about the positivity?
I do like, message? I like the message of it. I think it's a decent record. I think people are just too caught up. It's classic. It sucks. Sometimes it could be right in between. It's just okay. It's cool.
But would you like that much of positivity on an album?
Do
you
yeah, want- why not?
What, you know, some people are all about the turn up right now
and the bullshit,
right that's what's
which
funny.
Is what Kendrick always says, also, like, at least in his interview with Hot 97, where it's just like, what are you even saying out here? So, but I'm all, Tasha's ready to go. I mean, I'm clearly all for it. I'm, like I said on Twitter the other day, I'm really happy that Kendrick is out here just fucking with happiness and, like, not getting into this bullshit, but still making sure, I assume, with his songs, making sure that he still talks about what is going on. But Taj, you're waiting.
So I have thoughts.
Impatiently.
So when I first heard the song, I got it. Like, I think that the message and everything's great, and it's something that I would let my children listen to. But was I playing it on repeat and seeking it out all the time? No. And mostly, and I'll say this, the sample overwhelmed me. So because the sample was so prominent,
it's
like,
pretty much looped. You're right.
But because it's so prominent, I'm grooving to the sample and I want to get into my 70s groove and stuff. I'm missing what's going on. So, like I said, again, I love the concept and everything. It wasn't until the visual, like, I'm a visual person. Like, had that visual sucked, we would have never listened to that song again. I was so stunned. And they had my man, Mr. Big, in there.
Yeah, that was a nice touch.
Like, that was...
he was dancing.
Right.
In front.
But I think that so many videos just suck. Like, period. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? We don't get well-made videos that often, and I'm going to just take Beyonce out of that equation because she doesn't count here, because that's not fair. But I just think that as far as artists really sitting down, conceptualizing things, and doing a lot with a little.
There's lack of that, yes.
Because the thing about it is the video's not that complicated. There aren't that many shots, not really any special effects, if any at all.
Looks almost periodish.
Yeah, like, you feel it. You feel like you're there. It's kind of gritty. It feels great. He's dancing. He's getting his hair twisted. There's somebody with an afro. Like I said, Mr. Big is there with a cane. Like, the visual made the song that much better. I probably watched the video like 5 times. I haven't listened to the song by itself 5 times. So for me, I was really, really excited. Just as far as where I think the music's going, I think that we often, in this climate, hold people to these singles. And we're always so scared about what the album's going to reflect. I think the album will be positive, but have I ever felt that Kendrick wasn't positive? And do I think that the song is actually a departure of who he is? No.
No, I think it's more livened than other songs, but I highly doubt that there's going to be an album of all I songs. Like, I don't think that's also Kendrick.
Not.
Like,
of course not. But I just think that the subject matter and what he said and the people he said is dedicated to, I think that it will fit into a bigger storyline.
Right.
Yeah,
That's what I'm waiting to see
if it fits into, like, the theme and the narrative of the album. I like the record. I think it's decent, you know?
The video definitely
really dope. Well done. Yeah.
Did you want to talk about anything else? Taj got in Rihanna.
Album in stores.
This is where you shout out the album and thank your family. Hold on.
There's one thing I do want to say. Boozy mixtape, I'm here for it. Life After Death Row, Boozy's back. Atlantic Records dropped the ball on it. They should have put it out as an album. And that's all.
Is that good?
That's just what I wanted to say.
I've had time to listen to all of that.
I love it. I think it's like 27 tracks. It's kind of daunting, but it doesn't really feel like it. I would have trimmed it a little bit. But overall, it's a great mixtape.
The man has not put out something. And, like,
I mean,
20 is a lot, but, like, that doesn't surprise me, I guess, is
right.
What I'm saying.
But it's a really good body of work, man. And, you know, Boozy's back.
I like that the songs were trending when it came out.
Yeah, man. There's a lot of bandwagon guys, but, you know, Boozy, like, he sounds like badass
part 2.
Okay,
but who isn't a bandwagon person nowadays? With those kind of artists, is what I mean. Like, everyone's a Gucci fan now.
Yeah, right?
Well, I think that's it for this episode. I appreciate you guys coming
through. Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince.
I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.